Well, I love Kids Hope. It's been an inspiration to me. I have mentored a child, I think, every year for 15 years, other than, of course, lockdown times. And I've developed some lovely relationships. At the moment, I have a little Bangladeshi Muslim boy. I've had him since, I think, grade one. And he's in grade six. And he's become a house captain. Whoa, I was so excited about that. And he gave me this. He painted it on a canvas at Christmas time from Cheyenne, Ahmad, to me. And my daughter pointed out that down here he's got two little people hugging themselves. Do you know, Kids Hope has taught me something really important. Do you spend time with the people you love? Do you spend time with the people you love? It's a good reminder for my wife. Do I spend time with the people I love? Well, I spent 7 hours on Friday driving to Horsham and back. Had plenty of time to talk and share together. Do you know, in this world, people pursue many things. All of us. Academic success. You know, we're the nation of the education institutions that attract people from all over the world. That's why you have all these kids at Clayton North Primary School. Sporting fame. I was pursuing that as a young person. Financial security. Glamour. Just walk into... I always used to walk into Myers. You know, you walk into that bottom story level, Myers or David Jones. What's the first thing that strikes you? It's all these cosmetics. This unbelievable. What do people do with all this, I think? Do they actually buy this stuff? Sorry, you might be one of them. Material possessions, social acceptance. There's so many worldly things people want to pursue, and we all do. But sadly, so many people who seek these things never find the fulfillment they long for. They never find what they really need. And that's true for all of us. We can spend time in our life here in this world pursuing all kinds of things, even as Christian believers. And we never find the thing that really satisfies our hearts. You know, failures haunt people's consciences. Perhaps they do yours. Abuse. You know, sometimes as a minister, and I know as a primary school principal, you'll have people coming with all sorts of complaints about what people have done to them. And we forget that we ourselves also abuse others in different ways. People bear bitterness and scars in their lives. I was a chaplain at Monash Medical Centre for over 10 years, and I would say the number one issue that would bring healing to most people in that hospital is forgiveness. There were people seriously ill because they would not forgive somebody. It's the first thing they began to talk about when they talked with me. Forgiveness, such an important thing. There's no real peace, and there's a defensiveness that we get into as people who pursue all of this stuff. I'm all right. When actually, deep down inside, we know we're not all right. So as the world descends, as we've got it right now, more and more into the darkness that Jesus spoke of is going to take place. And one thing I love about the Word of God, it's true. You can read it, and what's happening now in the world is right here, written 2,000 years ago. It's reliable. It's the truth. It never changes. You know, I read to the elders this morning a passage from Daniel chapter 7 that describes what's happening in the world right now. That's 600 years before Jesus came. That's 2,600 years ago. Expediency is taking over in our world. Expediency. You know, whatever achieves my ends, I'll do it. But in the midst of all this, people lack real confidence and hope in the future. Well, do you know, this was the state of a man I came to know over 20 years ago. He turned his back on God, embraced all the world could offer him. Sadly, as a result of this, his relationships broke down. And, you know, kids' hope is about relationships. I remember, Sue, there was a previous principal at your school who told Kerry and me, life is about relationships. She was spot on. Life is about relationships. That's what it's about. If we're pursuing other things, well, God says stop. It's about relationships. His two great commandments is love God and love each other. Well, for this man who put God aside, his relationships collapsed, then something wonderful happened in this man's life that's completely changed him. The God of hope, the God that Linda referred to in that memory verse, the God that Paul wrote about in Romans, the God of hope knocked on his door for a kids' hope session. Now, we apply, we present mentors, and we send out letters, don't you, to parents, and we go, would you like a mentor? Well, God was doing that for this man. Of course, the person could say, no, I don't need one. We can say the same thing ourselves. When God is knocking at our door, well, God knocked on the door of this man's life, and he invited him in. And Jesus has made such a wonderful change in the life of Peter Urin, who we went to visit in Horsham on Friday. As he faces the reality of death, which is going to happen soon, very soon, he has a wonderful peace. He has a tremendous hope that brought him joy to his soul. And on Thursday when I was considering what to do for our day off, I was looking for a place to play golf, actually, with Kerry, because she's just learned to play golf and she's doing amazing stuff on the golf course. We'll talk about that later. The Lord said, go to Horsham and visit Peter Urin. I said, should we go to Horsham? And from the kitchen, my wife says, that's it. Well, here's the story. You need to hear it from Peter himself. And Lockie's going to play it for you this morning. Hey, Peter, it's really good to be visiting you in Horsham.
Yes.
And the reason why I've come today is because I want to ask you to share just a little bit about your story of redemption.
Right.
Yeah, can you share a little bit about that?
Yes. I'll try and be brief. Mike, it's lovely to be here. Lovely to have your company, and I pray that the result of this will be fruitful to many people. But I grew up in a Methodist church. I had a Methodist minister as a dad. I had seven brothers and sisters, and we grew up during the Depression, so we knew what it was like to struggle. But I was churchified. I was church, 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 morning, noon and night. And it wasn't until I got out of that and got into the business world that I realised there are other things in the world and other lives. As a result of all of this, I just wandered away from God. I don't know why. I just didn't feel that God was necessary. I had been involved in church and evangelical activities earlier, but for some reason or other it had no importance. And so I had an empty 20 years of living without God. I had two failed marriages, which I think are evidence that God wasn't there, and also an attitude that sort of, I just didn't want to get religious. But wonderfully, I have many praying friends, praying parents, praying siblings, and as a result of a happening, I just felt I needed something in my life. My life was empty. And in my second marriage, it was empty. I was getting milk from a milk bar just near my home, and a young fellow was putting a little sandwich board out advertising church fellowship. And I said, "Can anyone go there?" And he said, "You're welcome." So I went in, and as soon as I got there, I was hooked. I was loved by people who didn't know me before, and I was just gradually, warmly drawn into a fellowship of some lovely Christian people who just believed in Jesus and just believed that Jesus could change people. And as a result of all of this, I came to realise that I needed changing. And I can remember the day in the service, preacher was speaking about redemption and the need for repentance. And so I said, "I need repenting. I need to change." And I changed because I asked Jesus to come and make the change for me. And as a result of all of that, I was in a little flock where they not only loved me, but they welcomed me into their fellowship as a child of God. And as the wonderful gift of salvation just changed my life. But as a result, it upset my home life. And my wife wasn't particularly happy with this. And gradually a rift appeared, which got larger and larger. And the more I prayed, the rift got bigger until I just had to walk away. I just couldn't stay in that situation any longer. But I then had really nowhere to go fellowship-wise because the little flock wasn't going anywhere. It was just a fellowship. And I had a business, and my business, one day a young fellow came in asking for books on flocks. And I got so excited. I had so many books, I wanted to get rid of them. So I gave him this stack of books and I said, "If you want any more, help yourself." Well, his dear father the next week came down to thank me for my generosity. And we got talking, and in the conversation, I made the comment I was going then to a church in Clayton, but I wasn't getting anywhere. And they sang modern stuff, which didn't suit me. So I said, I want a church that sings hymns. And this is why you realise is Michael. And Michael said, "Well, we sing hymns." And so that Sunday night, I attended the church there. And again, I was hooked. I just couldn't say anything. I just felt that this was the church I needed to grow in. And so I came, and Clayton Presbyterian Church has been my wonderful home church. I was accepted. I can still remember Dollars, Alice and Stanley was the first couple who greeted me at the door, and they've loved me ever since, and I've been so blessed by their love. And as a result of all of these things, I just found that there was fellowship in gathering together. So I thank God for Clayton Prezi. I thank God for Mike and Kerry. I thank God for all of these wonderful gifts that he's poured out to me. And how far do you want me to go?
Well, I was just thinking, there was a special time when you were, I think, added or became part of the first committee for the Rock Ministry.
Yes.
And that somehow has been a great blessing in our church. What are your memories there, Peter?
Thank you. You reminded me of that. Can I take one step back? Yeah. I am reminded of the day I was accepted into membership. I was a Methodist minister's son. I was a church boy, but I never accepted membership. So I was invited to become a member of Clayton Presbyterian, and I stood up and gave my testimony. And unfortunately, I just couldn't handle the emotion, and I got tearful because God's mercy is so wonderful, he could even have mercy on me. And so I just wanted to put that one in, really, as a very important factor.
That's good.
But after that, going along, I'm an oldie. I'm not a young person, even then. And dear old James came to me one day and said, would you... he told me of what they were doing. Would I like to help? And, of course, I'd love to help. So I was able to assist in being part of the Rock Ministry Group, which was... It's hard to explain how at one church can produce about 20 or 30 young people who were just enthusiastic for Jesus. So every Christmas and every Easter, this rock group would get together and share the gospel with children in incredible ways. All sorts of activities. There was a lot of effort, a lot of time spent, but also a lot of joy. Mm. And as a result, the gospel was presented in cutely funny times sometimes. Some of the activities they did on stage, because they had an end result of telling a story, and the story would then explain something of the gospel as the story went along, and the children acted them beautifully. It was just a very exciting time.
Well, we're going to take all this back to the church. Is there any particular greeting, any particular word you'd like to bring to your friends there at St. Andrews in Clayton? We know that your days, all of our days are numbered on earth, but we know that we don't know when the Lord's going to take you home.
No,
what sort of greeting would you like to bring to the folk?
Well, my dear brothers and sisters, all I can say to you is you have been my rock. You have been my stable strength, because every time I've been there, I've felt loved, and every time I've been able to do something, I've felt appreciated. And every time that I've been involved in any activity, it's been a joy to share it with you, because I'm now today looking at the end of my life, which I'm finding an incredible peace, a wonderful sense of God's presence, and knowing that one day I'm going to beat you a lot to heaven. I'm going to get there before you do. It's just thank you very much for the joy and for the fellowship and for the strength you've been to me over that period of time. You are still my home church. And as I said to Mike today, I'm planning my funeral, and Clayton Prezi are part of it. So we'll look forward to it.
Yeah, that's lovely. Yeah. Well, thank you so much. It's been really lovely to come and visit you here in Horsham.
Bless you, Mike. It's been a blessing for you to come. Thank you.
Yeah. Good
night. Would you have liked to have missed that? You know, we miss things when we don't take the time to be with people. We miss very precious things when we don't take the time to ask the questions, to spend time just reflecting on what is important in someone's life. And Kids Hope has really reinforced in me the importance of this, that we need time. But more than that, with people, there is a God who created you and me. He put us together in our mother's wombs. We are all unique, and that is just the most amazing thing. You look at everybody here. Is anybody the same? It's just incredible. And there are millions of people that are produced all the time, and they're all different. Even identical twins. I've got one down at who's 92 down at Brighton, and yet she and her sister, they have differences. God loves us so much. And that's what the Bible says. Jesus said, God so loved the world, this broken, corrupted and falling apart world. He loved this world so much that he sent his son, the Lord Jesus, the Kids Hope mentor. But sadly, How much time are you spending with him? How much time are you giving to him? If God went to all that trouble to send his own son into the world, you know, Peter Uren had rejected him. He turned away from him. And you see from his story what happened to his life. It was in a mess. And then God came knocking on his door. And is he radiant? That man is radiant. You go to his house, it just radiates the very presence of God, because God is in his life. And we are facing times on earth that are certainly troubling. In fact, in our country, there's even a movement to absolutely reject God. It's so sad. We used to teach RE at Clayton North Primary. We loved to tell the children about Jesus. I loved to sing. I used to sing every lesson. I used to sing, "If I come to Jesus, he will make me glad. He will give me pleasure when my heart is sad." I used to want to get that right in the heads of these kids until they got to a point in their life when they were sad, they'd come to Jesus and they would find happiness and joy in him. But of course, increasingly our nation is trying, well, not our nation, all people, but there are forces in our nation trying to silence the message about God and his love. As a consequence of this, true hope is evaporating in our country. True hope. And it will always do this, because the Bible tells us that God is the God of hope. And of course, everyone sitting in this room is in the same state as Peter Uren. As I said to him, we're all going to die. You know, some people say, like, Alex got a diagnosis of cancer and we want to pray for healing. But, you know, you and I have got a diagnosis. It's called sin, and sin brings death. And we're all going to die. So where is the hope in the face of death? What did we celebrate last Sunday? Easter Sunday. The resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Is there any, as we just sung in that beautiful song, is there any place you can find hope greater than that? You see, depression, mental illness is escalating in our society. Why? Because genuine hope is being evaporated. God is being pushed aside. And I don't need to ask, I had in my notes here, a primary school principal who will have lots of people coming to her as they come to me with crises of various kinds, that hope at times can evaporate. You know, European settlement brought to this country, yes, we all know there were abuses and there were things that were wrong. And the church has not always been faithful to what I'm talking about today. We haven't been faithful to Jesus and the truth about him. But into this nation, at settlement, came the gospel. I remember going with my wife and my family to Longreach, which is a lovely town. If you're ever in Queensland, go to Longreach and go to the Stockman Hall of Fame. It's a museum which outlines the historical settlement of the country. And it's amazing. In all these little sort of displays, you'll find, oh, there's a Bible. And then there's a story of the preachers on horseback that rode 100 kilometres to shearing sheds to preach about Jesus, to tell people about the God of hope. And that message went out in our country, and it formed the basis of this country. Why the prosperity and blessing has come, because that message was the foundation. That's why people from all over the world want to come here. But what are we doing? No, there's a war in Ukraine and bombs are flying into Mariupol. But friends, bombs are flying into Australia and they're not physical bombs, they're spiritual ones. And sadly, in our country, we have forgotten the foundation that Jesus laid. And the church is very much, in the Western world particular, the church, the Christian church, is very much, most commentators would say, the Christian church in the Western world is like the church at Laodicea that we read about in the passage today. And what does that message say? To the angel of the church in Laodicea, let's say Australia. Right, the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of God's creation. I know your works. I know what you're doing. Now, I have to tell you a little confession here. Public holidays in Australia are a minister's graveyard. Every time there's a public holiday, I think, oh, the congregation's going to be empty. And there are a few empty seats around the place. My wife keeps telling me, but the churches in, you know, on the holiday places, they get the people. I hope. I know your works. I know you're not cold or hot, says God. Would that you were cold or hot. Because you are lukewarm. And I love the story of War Room, which is a Christian film. And this girl's marriage is breaking down. She comes in contact with a Christian older lady who's a real praying lady. And she serves this lady a cup of coffee. She said, would you like a cup of coffee? She said, well, yes, that'd be nice. So she goes to the kitchen and she makes a lukewarm cup of coffee. She brings it out to her and she puts it on the table. And then she starts drinking her own coffee. And this lady's visiting starts drinking the... Ooh, she puts it back on the table. She said, well, did you make that coffee hot? No, I made it lukewarm. Why did you do that? Because isn't that your condition? And the woman realizes that she is living a lukewarm life. She's not really exercising passion in her marriage. She's not really fighting for her marriage. She's complaining about her husband. It's easy to do that, isn't it? Or about your wife. You say, I'm rich, I've prospered, I need nothing. That's the West. Not realizing that you're wretched, pitiful, poor, blind and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in fire so that you may be rich. God wants us to be rich. But what with? What does he want us to be rich with? I'll tell you what. This is my dear wife over here. I love this lady so much. Ooh. But it doesn't come easy, friends. You don't get that love unless you love God first. And I know when we got married, we said to each other, Jesus first. Jesus first. He is the one that gives you love. He's the one that brings hope. He's the one that infuses in you his spirit to equip you to love with his love. Gold refined in fire. There have been moments, haven't there? We've had to say sorry to each other. We've had to humble ourselves and ask the Lord to forgive us for failing to love each other the way he loves us. And white garments, so that you may clothe yourselves. We need white garments, friends. You don't get to heaven unless you're wearing white garments. And we've all stained our garments. And we all need to come, not like the Pharisee who went to pray in the temple. Oh, I'm glad I'm not like other people. And Jesus said he didn't even pray to God. He prayed to himself. But the tax collector came and said, oh God, have mercy on me. Like Peter, you ran. Oh God, have mercy on me. And God does have mercy on those who are genuine and ask his forgiveness because he sent Jesus to die on a cross for our sins. Yes, those who I love, says God, I reprove. But this is the message for this morning. Behold, he says, I stand at the door. The God of hope is standing at your door and my door today. He's standing there and he's knocking. Will you give me a kids' hope hour? Not once in a lifetime, not once a week, but every day. Will you let me come into your life? That's what Peter Wren did. He surrendered his life to Jesus. He asked him to come in and take over. He needed to repent and change, and he has changed amazingly. And he's radiant. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him and he with me. Jesus is wanting to come into our lives and give us the gift of his Holy Spirit. And what does the passage in Romans say? What does that memory verse tell us? May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him. What did you see in Peter's face? Did you see joy? Did you see peace? So that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. Not because the world is getting a better place. In fact, it's not going to be, Jesus told us. But because in you, his Spirit reigns. And you're spending time with him, fellowshipping with him. So you can send him your painting and say, thank you, Jesus, for what you've done for me. You've brought hope into my heart. Shall we thank God for Kids Hope today? I thank God for Kids Hope. It teaches us a vital truth about the importance of spending time dedicated, devoted with one person. And the most important person is Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you speak to us in many different ways, calling us to come and return to you. Help each of us today to hear the knocking on our door and realize that it's the God of hope who longs to sup with us, to give us a hope that will never fade. We ask that you'll help us practically to know how to put this into practice each day of our lives. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now we're going to pray for our dear brother. There's a passage in the scriptures, and we believe it in this church. We believe the whole Bible. And in James chapter 5, James tells the early church there are things to do when people are sick or when people are suffering. He says this, is anyone suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the one who's sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he's committed sins, he'll be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. Well, Alex, I believe this scripture. I know you believe this scripture. I'm going to ask the elders to come to the front, and we're going to pray for you in front of all your brothers and sisters that God will fulfill what he has told us in his word. Please come to the front. And the elders too, please. Perhaps we could come up on the stage, just because there are people who will want to come right in the middle there. Don, perhaps you could hold our lamb. Neville, you come right in close and Mike will stay close to him. All right. Alex, that's for you, just in case it runs a little bit and you need to. Right, we lay hands on our brother. Going to anoint him with oil. And we're going to pray. Loving Heavenly Father, we have heard your word this morning. You are the God of hope. You're the God who sent your Son Jesus to die on a cross for our sins. And Father, we read in your word that by his stripes we are healed. And we bring Alex Christian to you, Lord Jesus, believing in your word. There in the book of James, we are the elders of this church. He is a brother elder. We lay our hands upon him, anointing him with oil as you have said. We acknowledge our sins and confess them to each other before you. But we put our trust wholly in Jesus. And so, Lord Jesus, we pray that you will do a wonderful thing for Alex Christian. You'll heal him of this cancer. You'll restore his body in every way. You'll deliver him from evil. And you'll bring a testimony of your goodness and love. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Does anyone else want to pray?
Yeah, Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can join together and pray for our brother Alex. Lord, we thank you for all that you've done in his life, that you have rescued him. And you've brought him into relationship with you. Mm-hmm. And thank you, Lord, for the blessing of him being brought into relationship with us here mm-hmm. in this church as well. Mm-hmm. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are our stronghold.
Yes.
You are our fortress. Mm-hmm. You are our hope.
Mm-hmm.
You are our rock. And yes. thank you that all of this is very true to Alex. Mm-hmm. And Lord, we thank you that your sovereign hand is upon him.
Yes.
And we join together to pray that you'll come with healing to him.
Yes.
Lord, please remove this cancer
yes.
and come with your healing power.
Yes.
Bless him as he goes forward. Bless the treatment yes. that he gets. We thank
yes.
you
yes.
for the wonderful medical treatment that we get in this country.
Mm.
And we pray that you'll bring your miraculous
yes.
healing to Alex
yes.
completely
yes.
and strengthen him in every way to continue to witness for you.
Yes. Yes,
and to your goodness for him, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
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 Do you want to pray, Neville?
Yes, I
do.
Heavenly Father, you have wonderfully done things in our lives for which we are extremely grateful. And Lord, we are asking you to do something extremely wonderful for Alex. Lord, we love him. We have a great desire to see him restored to health. And Lord Jesus, we ask you, break through and touch Alex, spirit, soul and body, and particularly his body. Lord, that you would bring healing to his body. You're the God of healing. And blessed Lord, we ask you to save this man. Lord, save him for more of what you have for him in the future. Lord, glorify your holy name when in working deeply in this man's life. And Lord, we pray for his wife, Lord Jody. Thank you, Jyoti, that this man belongs to you, but he also belongs to Jesus. And we're asking and we're including you in our prayer that a mighty work of God might be done before us all. And we ask all this, Jesus, in your most wonderful name. Amen.
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 Thank you. I think we should praise God. Can you help him down? close worship by singing. This today. We only heard yesterday from Alex this news. We wanted to deal with it straight away.
Well, let's stand and sing our final song, You Alone Can Rescue.
In the Bible could we go to end the service today? May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. And they all said, Amen. Amen. Thank you for joining with us. Please join us for a cup of tea and a chat. Thank you.